is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
It's never too early to start thinking of the next family vacation, but the usual problem always remains. Visit the same place year after year, or enjoy a truly unique experience in the mountains of northern New Jersey. The Great Divide Campground has been serving camping enthusiasts for over 50 years, maintaining the idea of camping, just refining it each and every year. Guests are able to bask in the sun and fun of the scenic Appalachian Mountains by day and take in the moonlight by night. The Great Divide Campground features full events calendar with live music, a lake for fishing and boating, and a brand new playground for the kids. The Great Divide Campground has fully furnished air-conditioned cabin rentals available with plenty to do or not to do, depending on your idea of a vacation. The Great Divide Campground is less than an hour away from Newton, New Jersey. More information available online at campthegreatdivide.com or by phone at 973-383-4026. 973-383-4026. The Great Divide Campground, just a stone's throw away from the city.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Great, Lynn. It's great to have you back on. We have a really, really important topic to discuss today. Our weekly question was about the topic of puberty and how it's handled for children on the spectrum. And we asked our listeners, do you have a child that gone through puberty or is possibly going through the transition of puberty right now? And we also asked them, what are their concerns or questions? And if you've gone through it with your child, is there any advice that you'd like to share with other parents? And we're also going to discuss an angle from some of the professionals in the industry today. So Lynn, this was a really big topic. I know it's a personal topic of yours that you like to cover. And it is an important topic to talk about, for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of times you do hear about it on social media, people talking about it and their concerns as to how to address it with their child. So I thought it was something that we could definitely talk about on air and be helpful to people and make them feel like they're less alone, because it does just seem to be a very common concern for parents.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, one of the things, it's amazing, too, everybody has a different approach. You know, you look at some of the professionals out there in the autism community, you know, they might employ humor into talking about the topic of puberty, where, you know, other people recommend a more of an education sooner approach to puberty, you know, and some people, you know, just would rather not talk about it. So, you know, so there's many different approaches to this topic. And obviously, you know, you got to respect both approaches, I think. You know, no matter what it is, I think the good thing is that, you know, you discuss it, I think, with your child, you know, if they are. I mean, I guess it's harder, too, if you have a nonverbal child or more severe on the spectrum. Obviously, it's a lot more challenging because they may not understand. But I know you had some great approaches by some of the callers and listeners out there, Lynn.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just funny that you said that because the first person who answered this question for me was saying, how do you teach a child about what is private and public when they have limited verbal ability and privacy, considered given that therapists still work with them? And that is definitely a concern. And I know a situation where you can teach. There's definitely a way to teach a child what's private and what's appropriate. I think it's just by saying to them, you know, it's okay to do it here and not do it there, you know, or something like that. I think that they do get it, no matter how severe they are. They might not understand why it's not appropriate, but that doesn't really matter. It matters that they are taught the appropriate behavior in that situation, and just to keep continually doing it. I think the biggest thing too, that other than that, was really the behavior changes that happened during puberty with autistic kids, and that came out a couple times from the people that answered me. Puberty is hard with autism. My daughter had a couple of rough years with behavior when body changes, and our kids have no control over their changes. It's very hard and little understanding of what's happening to their bodies. We've told our son that this is another person. We've told our son that he's growing, and that's why he's getting all hairy all over his body. His behaviors and mood swings, it's hard on everyone at home. The kid's like a ticking bomb. I hope we figure it out before he reaches teen status what works. The therapist recommends lots of physical activity as an outlet for behaviors. I know with boys, they do recommend a lot of physical activities. I think another person also said her daughter takes a lot of walks when she's stressed, and she's also going through puberty. And some people said the behavior therapist actually gives them some ideas as to how to handle puberty. So we had a different, you know, a lot of people. I think the biggest thing is actually comes out in behaviors. You know, the behaviors change, and that you hear that time and time again from people. They become more aggressive sometimes because they don't know what's going on, and they're fearful. Some of that fear is a worry about regression, as well as the fear of sexual abuse, which runs deep in the special needs community. That's another thing. Another concern among the parents is, you know, sexual abuse of children on the spectrum, which is widespread. Children and teens with special needs are sexual beings just like the rest of us. Respecting each child's dignity, teaching healthy attitudes and expression while maintaining safety is the job of all parents, as well as teachers and healthcare professionals, whether a child has a disability or not. So that was one professional opinion. To not, whether it be an autistic child or a typical child, you treat them the same way, you know.
Right, absolutely.
Be embarrassed about, it's something that's...
Well, because, you know, Lynn, it's hard for most parents to talk, you know, with their kids about this issue.
Right.
You know, but it's a critical thing to do. You have to have the talk, you know, and I think, you know, whatever, you know, they need to know what about their bodies and their parents. We need to give them the best, you know, skills to deal with sexual situations, both positive and negative, because I think we have to remember that puberty is not about sex. It's about changing a sense of self, and it's really important to do everything possible to encourage the teens' self-esteem, I think. You know, that's the thing the parents need to remember.
They said for Asperger's and high-functioning autistic functioning people, there are plenty of teachable moments in everyday life. Indeed, for the conscious and aware parent, more often than not, children teach us as much or more than we teach them. There is no shame in educating or re-educating ourselves to be equal to the task. I think the most, you know, even is with a typical child, it's you can't be embarrassed about it or not want to talk about it, because then the child is going to pick up on that, you know, sense of, you know, it's something funny or it's something, you know, to be embarrassed about. But if you're open about it and you're, you know, willing to talk about it with the child, I think it's fine. You know, I think it's, you know, and you teach them it's acceptable under certain circumstances if you want to be alone in your room or do what you have to do, but don't do it in public, you know. And that's really the biggest challenge, I think, for parents of, you know, the more severe side is, you know, this is not appropriate. You can't be pulling down your pants in public or, you know, doing inappropriate acts in public, and they need to know, you know, this is okay in the privacy of your own home or whatever you want to do, but just don't, you know. And there are boundaries, obviously. That's I think, to me, as a parent of a severe child, that's the scary thing, too, is that, you know, the boundaries of, and I think that's what the first person was asking, when they work with these therapists and healthcare professionals and you're not there, you know, the child needs to know there's certain boundaries where they can't, you know, they have to act appropriately, and the parent needs to be aware, I guess, if they're doing something that's inappropriate, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, you just have to have a lot of respect for the topic and just about I think kids teaching them about privacy too, I think, you know, has another thing.
That's the thing, right?
That's really important. And I noticed, you know, even with our son, you know, he definitely wants more privacy now, and that's a good thing. That's
oh, yeah.
a normal behavior.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's actually interesting how it's sort of, even with the severe kids, it's actually sort of instinctive in a way. And it might not even be necessarily regarding puberty, but just in general, they want more privacy because they're growing up. You know, they don't need their parents next to them every second, you know, and that's just a typical, you know, if you think about a typical child pulling away slowly from their parent as they get older, that's what is happening with our children as well. This other person says many changes happen around puberty, and these changes can certainly affect behavior, including in areas where your son has already made many strides. As with all adolescents, your son may regress in some areas even while he continues to move forward in others. Moreover, these changes could be I think that's the other thing. A lot of these changes are unexpected and unpredictable. So that's the hard thing for us parents, is we don't know what to expect at this age. You know, it could get worse, but then again, it could get better. You know, the child could mature. So, and it says that just keep in mind that your child is still the same child that he or she has always been. It's still that same person in there. You know, they're just growing up. And that's, sometimes it's hard to accept that too. I think as a parent of a child with special needs, to just see your child is not in that little baby stage where it's cute anymore either. You know, these things are not cute anymore.
No.
They're growing up, and, you know, you need to teach them about body awareness and privacy and all these things that you really didn't think about before, you know.
Yeah.
On top of everything else that you got to teach them. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, in a way, it is for parents, it's a tough topic to discuss because it's another worry. It's another thing like, right. Oh, God, here comes now
exactly.
Something else we have to deal with, you know. Which you deal with any child, but with a child with special needs, it's even more of a challenge. And that's why it's even more important, Lynn, I think, that we do address that topic.
I think it is, yes. I do think it's very important. And they had brought it up to us, I think, around age 10, that, you know, by then, the child already needs to start, we need to start thinking about, like, deodorant and things like that because their body's going to be changing. So,
yeah.
You know, start working on things like that. One of the professionals said the information that you teach your child should match, obviously, his level of understanding. I mean, your son needs to learn about puberty and the physical and emotional changes he may go through so that he can take some responsibility to piece together what will be happening to him, and this will help him through. Try not to let your own fears about your child's changing hormones scare him or make him feel that the changes he's going through are scary or bad, you know, which is kind of like what we were saying. Just try to, I think, just be calm about it and be like everyday-ish about it. You know, I mean, even with the typical kids, I think if you make a big deal out of it, they're going to make a big deal out of it, you know.
Right.
You kind of have to be open-minded, you know. We come from a generation where our parents were like, shh, don't talk about it, you know.
So yeah, it was taboo. It was totally taboo, you know.
So now, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I don't want that for my kids. I want to be open about it, and I kind of want to be like, you know, it's acceptable this way and that way, and we talk about these things, but other things are not. You know, for obviously with a typical child, it's easier to discuss what you can talk about and what you can't talk about. But with our kids that aren't verbal, it's more the actions and the way that they act, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. You know, even from a young age, if you think about it, sometimes they do things that are inappropriate, you know, sexually, and they don't know that it's inappropriate, but, you know, you have to tell them that that's not right. You can't do that, you know. So, but they do learn. You'd be surprised. As severe as they are, sometimes they surprise you. They do get it.
Yeah, no, it's true. That is very, very true.
No.
We also had a lot more listeners that wrote in, Lynn, too, I know, if you wanted to share some of them.
Okay, I had somebody wrote, this was an adult with Asperger's. I like to say, for me, puberty didn't even exist. I would have wanted to quit school at 10. I found the other kids' talk and jokes on sex unbearable. That was really the other person. I think I read most of the other comments. Did you have more?
We have a few more here. This was also from an autistic adult.
Mm-hmm.
He said his parents did not feel comfortable teaching him about puberty either. So he learned the hard way from peers, which put him in very vulnerable situations with a lot of men.
Right.
You know, since many autistics have a lot of difficulties with social interaction, it's good to teach them about sexuality. And you want to make sure you really focus on sexual etiquette and boundaries. So there is so much confusion and a lot of naiveness at that time. So it's important to address that.
Very good point. Very good point. Because they do get picked on. The high functioning ones, if they don't know it, and they don't, you know, they might not fully understand. I think that's a huge concern.
Yeah, it's
sort
scary.
Of mainstream, then they don't understand what's going on, and they don't get the jokes, like this other person said too, and they feel, you know, sort of left out. I think you don't want your child to go through that.
No, so you try to, you know, try to prepare them as best you can, I think, and I think that's, you know, that's very important, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of information out there, you know, and you can find, I know, there's Peter Gerhardt does a great job about talking about sexual education. He does a whole thing with slides and everything. He does a great presentation on it. You know, but it's just hard. I think, you know, again, it goes back. It's so hard for most parents to have these talks with their kids.
Yeah.
It's just very difficult. You know, a lot of times I know myself being a dad, you know, I don't want to talk to my daughter about that thing. You know, I don't want to discuss
well,
that's it.
That's
mom's job. Yeah. You know, but even like with your son, it's like most dads, it's very awkward, or it's awkward for a mom to talk to their son about it. So it just depends, I think, on the individual to talk about this topic.
Yeah.
That's
I guess I kind of like want for myself to undo what, you know, I don't want it to be like a stigma for me. So I always have been pretty open about it with my, you know, with my kids. Because I think I wish I would have learned more, you know, than I did at a younger age. And I would have understood, whatever the case may be. But I just feel like it's, you know, I don't think it should be something that you should be embarrassed about and you should feel awkward talking to your kids about, because they're going to learn it, whether it's going to be from you or from a peer. And would you rather it be a peer who, like that person said, teases them or, you know, doesn't tell them the right information, or would you rather it come from you, you know? And I think that it's good that it come from the parent and that they get the right facts. And, you know, like I said, with the autistic community, it's obviously a lot harder. It's an extra concern of ours, and safety-wise, too. They need to know they can't trust strangers, and, you know, that part of their body is private, you know, whether they might not understand the concept of private, but maybe just, you know, cover it up, or it shouldn't be seen, you know, by anyone else but a doctor or a family, you know, an immediate family member or something like that. But you do have to really address those things. There's no doubt in my mind, you know, that you can't be scared of it. And it, like I said, like they said, they're going to pick up on your attitude. You know, kids learn very fast. The way you approach things, you know, is the way they're going to approach it. So, but I was kind of surprised that even the severe end, they, you know, learn pretty quickly, you know, that they want their privacy, even without you sometimes saying anything.
Yeah. No, it's true.
You know?
It's very true. You know, it's just one of those topics that, like I said, I think, you know, as generations, you know, the newer generation, they're more open about talking about sex in general. But like I said, this is not about sex, but it's about, you know, going through the stages of puberty. Mm-hmm. I think people are more open to it now than when we were children, and even, you know, 10 years after us, you know, and it's getting more open, I think, parents in general. But it's still very hard for them. It's still very hard. A lot of parents have a lot of struggles with this. And I hear them say all the time, I dread the day that happens, you know.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, you hear that a lot.
And they bury their heads in the sand, and they kind of just, you know, they figure it's going to go away. Well, guess what? Eventually it's going to happen. And, you know, it's kind of unfair, I think, to the child if you don't, you know, give them some kind of preparation for it.
Well, also, I think the thing to keep in mind is when they do act out and when they do have these behaviors, and if they are going through puberty, and I think that's the key here with the autism community, is it is going to come out, just like their other frustrations, it is going to come out in their behaviors a lot of times because they don't know what's going on. And sometimes you can't explain it to them, and there's only some things you control and some things you can't control. You know, and if you notice such if you notice such a drastic change in behavior, then you need to speak with a healthcare professional, obviously, maybe talk about changing medication or what can you do to, you know, or maybe the behavior therapist and see different, you know, approaches that they've handled in the past. The best thing, I think, is to speak with a professional if the child really has changed a lot and has a lot of aggressions or behaviors that concern you. I think that that's you know, a lot of times you really do need to consider the age and what they're going through, because they're confused sometimes. You know, I especially hear from girls on the spectrum with their monthly cycles, and they have mood swings. I mean, they must be, I can't even imagine what that must be like for them. You know, I mean, boys too. I mean, obviously I don't know from the boys' point of view, but that's, you know, that's hard too, to understand what's going on. You know, maybe it's not, they don't have as many fluctuations in the, you know, mood swings, but, you know, obviously they're confused and they have no idea what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind when you are frustrated with your child and you see they're acting out. You know, they might just be confused.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I mean, I think parents just need to remember to use the same teaching strategies that you use to teach your children other skills, you know.
Right.
And just apply it to teaching about things like menstruation, nocturnal emissions, and all these different topics, both for boys and girls. You know, you can have a checkoff list. You can get videos on this. There's facts in books. There's pictures. A lot of materials that were never available for us when we were children. And it explains about what's happening to their bodies and stories to predict what might occur, and even has specific terminology in there. And just, you want to just think of puberty as another stage of development and really embrace it and move forward. I think that's the key.
Right.
I feel.
And it's your same child.
Right, absolutely.
Same child in there. It's just growing up. That's all. It's the same child who's having mood swings and hating you that a typical child would do. That's what an autistic child is going through as well. You know, it's still that same child. So.
Well, it's funny. You know, you say to yourself, you know, you're a lot of your other children, a lot of parents still have a neurotypical child and have an autistic child. And, you know, when their neurotypical child grows up and becomes a teenager and wants nothing to do with mom and dad,
right.
You figure, okay, well, I have my son or my daughter who, you know, I hug and I squeeze all the time, and then all of a sudden they don't want to be hugged and squeezed, and
yeah.
They want their privacy, and they want to close the door, and they don't want you in there in the shower, and it's like, well, you know, your child's growing up, and that's a good thing, and that's actually a very good thing.
Exactly.
Because
that
they're becoming more independent.
You don't want them wanting you every second. You want
right.
them to get a little bit more independent and grow up a little bit. You don't want them to have the need for constant need. Maybe they will start to do more for themselves as they get older, you know, too.
No, definitely, for sure. So, you know, this is a great topic, and we wanted to thank all our listeners and everybody out there on social media who got involved in this topic. And, you know, if we didn't discuss it, you know, you can definitely write to us, and we can discuss it off air with you. If you'd like. And, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a very important thing that needs to, you know, be shed some spotlight on. Like I said, we are the main educators for sex for your child, daughter, or son. And the bottom line is, whether you're comfortable or not, wouldn't you rather, you know, give the facts to your child? Or, like I said, or you don't want them getting it from a classmate or a friend, right?
Right. Or being teased. That's
yeah,
more.
Being teased, of course.
Right.
So I just want to leave that with a lot of parents who are like, oh, I don't know, like, it's taboo, I don't want to talk about this, you know, like, but you really need to, because you're doing more harm than good if you don't. And like I said, get some great information. If you don't feel comfortable, like I said, there's a lot of great information on the internet. There's a lot of great books in your library, or you can go to a bookstore and take out a book. There's, you know, a lot of great authors and you know, specialists that have put out a lot of great information to make it very easy to make the transition to teach your daughter or son about puberty, so, and the changes. So, but we just want to, like I said, Lynn, always thank all the listeners for their continued support here on the program. We wish everybody, as always, a great week. And we'll see you all again next week. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Escape on a vacation unlike anything you've ever imagined with one call to the experts at Cruise One Land and Cruise Travel. Prices have never been better. Mexico and the Caribbean are offering great vacation deals.
cruise lines have special promotional packages, and the cities of Europe are awaiting your arrival. Work with a travel agency that has your best interest in mind, all without any service fees. We are ready to arrange both your personal and business travel plans. Contact Cruise One Land and Cruise Travel today at 1-800-609-3012. That's 1-800-609-3012. Or visit justgreatvacations.com and get ready to discover the world.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day.